Major Barclay Harmon tipped back in his chair, stretched, and yawned mightily. It was almost Langhorne's watch, that period between midnight and the first true hour of the day. In theory, Harmon should be spending that time meditating on all of God's gifts and his duty to the archangels and to God. In fact, he was spending it trying to stay awake. He finished yawning and let the chair tip forward again. The oil lamps filled his sparsely furnished office with light, although it was scarcely what anyone would have called bright. Somewhere on the other side of the office door, there were two clerks and an orderly, who were undoubtedly also doing their best to stay awake. Of course, they might be finding it a little easier than Harmon was. They probably hadn't spent most of the night before drinking in one of the waterfront taverns the way Harmon had.
"The way I wouldn't have if I'd had any idea I was going to get stuck with the duty tonight," he thought sourly.
Unfortunately, his superiors hadn't asked him about that when his name came up as the replacement for Major Tillotson. Tillotson wasn't going to be holding down the night watch for a while. Still, he was more fortunate than his horse had been. The beast had put its foot into a lizard hole and, like its rider, broken a leg. But while Tillotson's leg had been set and wrapped up in plaster, the horse had simply been put down. And one Major Harmon had been informed that he was going to be holding down Tillotson's night duties until the colonel told him differently.
"At least it's not likely anything's going to happen," he thought.
Captain Yearley watched and waited impatiently as HMS Torrance's second cutter blended out of the night. He was glad to see it. Lieutenant Simon, Torrance's first lieutenant, was officially his second in command, but at least one launch and the 35 men in it had obviously gone astray. Not surprisingly. Indeed, if no one had gone astray, that would have been grounds for outright astonishment, not simple surprise. Every officer in the Carisian Navy knew the first law of battle was that anything which could go wrong would. Besides, actually keeping a couple of dozen launches, cutters, and gigs together while rowing for almost 12 miles through a pitch-black night would have qualified as a miracle in any sea officer's book. The problem was that Yearley couldn't see a thing beyond his immediate position, except for occasional dim smears of light. He'd put together the simplest plan he could, then briefed all of the officers involved in tonight's festivities as carefully as possible before they ever embarked. Each of them had had his particular role explained to him at least twice, and each of them had also been given his contingency instructions in case someone else failed to reach his intended destination in time. That didn't necessarily mean the officers in question had actually understood their instructions, however, and even if they had, there was no way of predicting what sort of navigational errors the vagaries of wind and tide might have induced. It was even theoretically possible that only the five boats Yearley could actually see had managed to reach their assigned objective at all.
"Stop that!" he shook his head. "Of course they're out there, somewhere, and every one of them is waiting for your signal."
Simon's cutter came alongside Yearley's launch. Hands reached out, easing the two boats together, and Yearley leaned across towards the lieutenant.
"I think we're in position," he said quietly. "I'm not positive, though. This..."
He waved one hand at the wharf, in whose shadow the boats bobbed up and down on the swell.
"Should be the East Pier if we are where we're supposed to be."
Simon nodded, as if he hadn't already known that perfectly well, and Yearley felt his mouth twitch in a tight grin.
"Whether it's the East Pier or not, it's a pier, and it'll just have to do. You take your cutter and defender's launches and swing around to the far side. I'll take the other boats down this side."
"Aye, aye, sir," Simon acknowledged.
Hissed orders were passed, and Simon and the assigned boats moved steadily away. Yearley gave them several minutes to get into position on the far side of the pier. Then his launch led the remaining boats down the nearer side toward shore, keeping to the densest, darkest shadows cast by the galleons moored to it on either side.